Welcome back. We recently had a major event in the history of the Catholic religion at the Vatican, a secret closed doors, and the participants were warned, do not talk about what goes on here. It was called a synod of on synodality. And it basically what it was a constitutional convention, a con for the Catholic Church. And we don't know exactly what went on in there, but if anybody in the world has ears and connections enough to find out, it's probably Father Paul Kramer. Father Kramer's here twice a month, 1.2 billion Catholics in the world. Father Kramer, welcome back, and what happened at the Synod on Synodality?
At the end of the Synod, a document was issued. It was not a document signed by Bergoglio. It was addressed to the people, and as you would expect, it didn't have much to say. The sort of cliches that cause nausea and boredom. That sort of language that we've heard since the 1960s. Right. So my first reaction was that, well, we have to look to the reports about what has been going on in the synod. But that was immediately followed by another document, and this was a so-called apostolic letter given motu proprio, which is a document of high rank, by Bergoglio himself, and it is called Ad Theologiam Promovendam. Just only the title is in Latin. The document was actually published in Italian, and that's a good thing for any of the listeners who want to read the document, because the machine translations from the Italian is much more accurate than the machine translations from Latin are terrible. I mean, they're the thing the comedy is made of. The most comical translations imaginable come from machine translations of Latin, whereas the Italian is going to be very accurate with a good machine translation. I read the original Italian, and I heard a man read a machine translation in English, and it was a very faithful translation. So, if anyone wants to read through the document, they'll just need a good stiff cup of coffee so they won't fall asleep, and it will also help suppress the urge to vomit when one reads it. In the document, if one cuts through all the verbosity, and there's a lot of it there, for a short document, it's incredibly verbose. But he's speaking of theology in terms of interdisciplinarity. He refers to the contemporary discussion of rethinking thought. This document is a recipe for what he calls the interdisciplinarity, which is to reinterpret doctrine, reinterpret theology in terms of our contemporary secular sciences. So it is as if when Moses saw the burning bush and heard the voice of God, he would have had to consult with the Pontifical Biblical Institute and the Pontifical Academy of Sciences to interpret the phenomenon that he had just encountered at Mount Sinai. And we can imagine what they would have told him. Well, this is what Bergoglio is saying we have to do with all the data of Revelation. If we're going to produce theology in a meaningful manner, it has to be rethought in a manner that is based on dialogue and synodality.
Right.
And what this simply means is a total inversion. And anyone who understands exorcism, demonology, knows that the sign, the unmistakable sign of the presence of the devil, is inversion. And here we have a complete inversion of the divine authority. We don't just listen to the voice of God. The word of God, of course, is the supreme and absolute authority. St. Robert Bellarmine, in his great work on the controversies, he begins with the word of God, the authority of the word of God. In other words, the authority of the word of God is absolute. And following the doctrine of St. Thomas Aquinas and of the ancient fathers and of the sacred scriptures themselves, it is the voice of God spoken to the prophets, the men who were designated by God to be the recipients of his word, who would testify to what God has revealed, and God provides his own testimony. God provides his own testimony to verify and provide the divine evidence of the human testimony being given in God's name. So the word of God spoken through the prophets, that is the very foundation of belief. That is the foundation of revealed religion. It is the absolute authority of the word of God, the word of the revealing God. But now, Bergoglio is inverting the whole system. At the end of this session of the synod, inverting the entire system, whereas divine revelation is to be interpreted theologically by a reinterpretation, a rethinking of thought, a reinterpretation of theology with an interdisciplinarity which takes into account the contribution of all that faithless generation, to use the words of the Apostle St. Peter, to use the collective knowledge of the faithless generation to reinterpret the word of God. And we know where that's going to lead to. It's going to be the inversion and nullification of revelation itself. It is exactly what I have been saying in the introduction to my first volume, To Deceive the Elect, and right. In my case, the second volume, The Case Against Bergoglio, where I present the doctrine, the theology of Jorge Bergoglio, who calls himself Francis. People call him Pope Francis. He is the very antithesis of what a pope should be. He is a true antipope in the most radical sense of the word, like no antipope before him.
Uh-huh.
Because his papacy is an anti-papacy. It is against the very notion of what is the papacy. The Pope is the successor of St. Peter.
Okay.
And according to Catholic belief, Jesus Christ in the Gospel promised St. Peter that his faith would not fail, so that he could then confirm his brethren in their faith. And that this prerogative is passed down to his successors for the sake of preserving the unity of faith in the church, as Christ promised, I am with you all days until the end of the world, that this gift of the unfailing faith of Peter is passed on to his successors so that they can strengthen the whole church in their faith, so their faith, so that the faith of the church will not fail, because the faith of the successor of Peter will not fail. And that is why the dogmatic definitions and the solemn professions of faith have the divine assurance of the words of Christ: I am with you all day until the end of the world. I will teach you all truth. With those words of Jesus Christ, we have the divine assurance that the solemn definitions and professions of faith are faithful to the word of God transmitted to us through the apostles and the prophets. We don't need to reinterpret them. With the science of the faithless generation, who by their very nature will invert the word of God, and instead of approaching the word of God with the reverence due to the supreme being, the supreme authority of the almighty and eternal God, we as creatures can only listen attentively to the word of God, accept the word of God in faith, and obey God's commands. Whereas now they're saying we have to completely reinterpret. It's going to all be regurgitated and reprocessed according to human scientific understanding. This is the absolute height of all hypocrisy, to subject the word of God to human judgment. And we will no longer be in a position, if this were true, if they were correct, we would no longer be in a position to speak as did the prophet Samuel. When the prophet Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." No. If God speaks and God has spoken, we have the word of God preserved through all generations.
Right.
But we simply are not allowed in the Bergoglian Synodal Church to listen to the word of God. But we are going to have to use an interdisciplinary scientific approach to interpret the word of God according to mere human understanding, according to human science, so that we can say what, according to our mind, what God is telling us. So we don't listen to God anymore. According to Bergoglio, we're going to listen to the scientists, to the social psychologists, the sociologists, the scholars, and they will completely reprocess the word of God and nullify it and change it according and make it fit to human understanding and fit to the mentality of our times.
I see. Sure. Yeah.
So we have to understand here that Synod did not end. This is only this session is only laying the groundwork, the foundation for next year.
Well, so is this an annual thing, or is it going to become an annual thing?
No. If we look at the Second Vatican Council, for example, the council began in 1962 and it closed in 1965.
Oh, wow. All right. So they've got a lot of time to embed anything they want in these, and they'll just, again, warn everyone not to talk about it. We won't know. It sounds like what they issued in that statement that you referred to was just like another typical American stupid campaign speech. Same old garbage. Nothing new.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a load of codswallop, to put it in proper English. We can't accept anything that Bergoglio says on his word, because he contradicts himself all the time. Regarding the blessing of homosexual unions, in the past he said, he said, no, we can't do that. The church cannot bless sin. Then with the synod, he came out and said, on a case-by-case basis, the local priests have the authority to judge on a case-by-case basis to bless homosexual unions. So he has completely reversed himself. So nothing he has said about faithfulness to the teaching of the church, to the word of God, nothing is to be taken at face value, because it is the word of Bergoglio, if I can be summed up the way Lenin spoke of treaties, when he said treaties are like pie crusts; they are made to be broken. And the same applies to Bergoglio's word. Whatever he says, we can't accept his word on anything, because everything he says is intended to be reversed,
right?
To be overturned. And he himself has admitted so much.
Uh-huh.
When he spoke about homosexual marriage, when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he said an interesting thing. He said that we can't promote this because the people aren't ready for this yet. So then they come out. The local church came out against it, and so people got the idea that they're upholding the church's teaching. But no, they were just giving the appearance that they're upholding the church's teaching, only because they made the practical judgment that the people are not ready for this revolution. And that is Bergoglio's modus operandi. That's his MO.
Right.
And that's what he's doing now.
I agree. I heard go ahead, please. Yeah.
What he has done, he has in principle formulated the complete and total overturning, not of just of theology, but of doctrine, but of divine revelation itself, of religion as such. It is going to be a complete inversion of religion, whereas true religion is the word of God spoken from by God Almighty from on high, and we must listen to God. Now, religion is something that comes from below. We interpret what we understand to be revelation, but according to our own understanding. So the word of God is really what we say is the word of God, and not what the word of God speaks to us. And this is the new religion. Bishop Batzing of Germany in the synod equated the synodal church, he called it the world church. This is very interesting that they're using the term the world church, because this document of Bergoglio is a recipe to reformulate Christian doctrine in terms of the United Nations Agenda 2030.
Right.
A complete reformulation, a complete secularization of the gospel. This process has been going on for a long time. I remember back in the 70s, I was reading a book by the Anglican theologian Eric Pascal on the secularization of the gospel. So this process has been going on for a long time, but it has culminated and been radicalized in this synod of Bergoglio. You're going to have the total secularization of religion according to human knowledge, where science, human sciences, are going to replace the authority of the Word of God,
well,
of the church's, the church's authority by divine grace, by divine promise, to faithfully transmit the Word of God, this is going to be replaced with the scientists who will become the high priests of all knowledge.
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, human science has been corrupted in so many ways by big money, by ego, by power, by politics. What a dreadful thing to see in charge of anything. Human science is a mess right now. Not good.
In one
this
word,
is bad.
In one word, this revolution, this Bergolian revolution to completely invert religion is to convert Christianity into Masonism. And Freemasonry professes itself to be Gnostic. What is
there
Gnosticism? Well, the very word, the Greek word gnosis, tells you what Gnosticism is. It's knowledge. It is human knowledge as opposed to divine faith. Instead of accepting and believing the word of God on the divine authority in faith, we are to understand divine realities according to mere human understanding, according to human science, equating all truth with human science. And what is above the capacity of the human mind, well, there is nothing to be considered above the capacity of the human mind. If the human mind cannot understand it, it is not to be accepted as truth. This is the complete inversion of truth that is the what will be the terminal point of this revolution in religion, and that is being ushered in with the synodalism of the world church of Jorge Bergoglio.
If you're new to the program and don't know exactly who Jorge Bergoglio is, he's the Pope, just so you know. I don't want to leave anybody behind here. There was a rumor that, what was it, women in the priesthood, was it, or women bishops, women should be, we're talking about inclusion again. There was a rumor that one of the items talked about. Don't know what you make of that. I think I sent you a story about that.
Oh,
did
yes.
Did we learn? Go ahead, please.
Yes, it's very interesting, the phraseology used by Bergoglio. When he basically said that ordination, it was about ordination to the diaconate and to the priesthood eventually. And he said that it is reserved, ordination is reserved for men rather than for women. Now, very interesting the way he put that, because the church has taught very definitively with absolute finality that women can never be ordained to the priesthood. It is against divine revelation. It has been defined by Pope John Paul II. And the clarification was issued by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger that this pronouncement of Pope John Paul II bears the note of infallibility, which is to say it is an infallible pronouncement made by Pope John Paul II. And it being the doctrine of the universal ordinary magisterium of the church for many centuries, it is the infallible teaching of the Catholic Church that can never be changed. But with the solemn pronouncement of Pope John Paul II, it is formally irreversible, irreformable. It can never be changed. Bergoglio downplayed that as much as possible and simply said, well, ordination is reserved for men. Yeah, it is reserved for men now, but that's not something that it's like the blessing of homosexual unions. He said the church cannot bless sin, but then he reversed the position and said now, yes, they can do it. So what is his assurance that there will not be women ordained to the priesthood? What is it worth? Well, it's worth the garbage that you throw into the bin. That's what it's worth. That his word is worth the garbage you throw into the bin.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Trash talk. That's all it is. Go ahead.
It's all subject to revision according to the interdisciplinarity of the sciences.
Right.
So when all the pontifical academies consult with all the social scientists of the world and come up to through dialogue, they come up with a new understanding, a rethinking of thought, a new understanding of the church's position, they're going to say, well, women can be ordained. They will reverse themselves. That's coming after the synod ends next year. That's when the proverbial stuff will hit the ventilating device.
Yeah, I think your timing is about right. It's going to be a very brutal and rugged year upcoming, as I think all of you know. But they're doing what they said they were going to do. They're revising and reformatting the entire church. That's what they're doing. They've already taken it over. There's been an overthrow here. This is a coup.
Yes. And Bergoglio has no idea, because he's a faithless man, he has no idea what God has in store for him and his synodal church. He speaks of God as the God of surprises, and God will have a very nasty surprise for him. St. Robert Bellarmine, in his book De Notis Ecclesiae, on the marks of the church, speaks about people like him, the great heretics, those who have set themselves against God to destroy the church, to destroy the word of God. The miserable end that comes to them. And he cannot escape the wrath of God. So his God of surprises is going to have, he already has a surprise in store for Jorge Bergoglio. Unfortunately, the chastisement threatened by Our Lady of Fatima that has been already spoken of since Old Testament times in the ancient scriptures of the Old Testament, we already see some formulation about how the wrath of God is going to scorch the earth to its foundations. It's going to shake the world to its foundations. And the wrath of God is going to explode when those who should have been pastors of the church defect. They have defected from the faith. They have defected from the church.
Uh-huh.
They have rebelled against God, and they are creating a counterfeit church against God and against the very idea of God as we have professed it. By reinventing theology, they are going to reinvent the very idea of God. They've already done it, but it only has to be brought out and brought into full view of their concept of God, which is the very antithesis of the divinity, as is understood from the Word of God in sacred scripture. And in the entire history of the sacred tradition, from both the Old Testament and New Testament times, there's only one word that sums it up, and that's a word from sacred scripture itself. That is Antichrist. It is the very spirit of Antichrist, which embodies the synod. And the whole notion of revelation and of God is what Cardinal Manning said is the very embodiment of the spirit of Antichrist. And that is what is coming to the fore in this synod and will be consummated next year, in this coming year, a year from now. Then we will see exactly where this has been leading, and it is leading to the negation of the divine word, to the denial of Christ, to the denial of the divine authority, to the denial of the authority of the word of God, and to place man on the throne of God. And that it is now the authority of human science to dictate what is God's words, as mm-hmm. if God must be subject to human understanding. It is not God who will dictate to man, but man who dictates to God what God may tell us. This is the spirit of the synod.
It's a bad scenario we're facing here. I assume this is a collective that is involved with laying out the agenda for the complete reformatting of the church. It's not just Bergoglio, it's probably a group of them. I look at them as radical Bolsheviks, frankly, hiding under their titles. And These are not holy men. These are not religious figures. These are corporate board hacks. And what they're doing has been dictated to them by the internationalists and the globalists. And they're doing it.
In the first part of my book, The Case Against Bergoglio, I go back to the roots of this synodality, this mm-hmm. synodal revolution, in the Second Vatican Council, starting with Paul VI, how he essentially reinvented the church, meaning Montini, Paul VI. Mm-hmm. And the Synodal Church of Bergoglio is what I called the Soviet Church of Paul VI, the Conciliar Church, which is, to use the word in the Russian language, what is a council? A council is a Soviet. So when we speak of a Conciliar Church, we speak of a Soviet church. What is a Soviet church? Well, the Bergoglio Synodal Church, which talks about all the dialogue and listening, is so much about listening and listening to the people, as if the church is going to be made into something entirely democratic. But it's going to be democratic in a Soviet sense. A Soviet Socialist Republic, when they would refer to it as a democratic republic.
Right.
You have the, the People's Democratic Republic of Korea.
Sure, sure.
That kind of democracy, an entirely orchestrated, choreographed, dictated democracy,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which is in fact a dictatorship.
Oh, and they but love to play semantic wars on the masses, too, with all these words, and they'll change definitions and nuances, and it's just intellectually very difficult for the average person to handle. They get tricked and triggered by this stuff. But the semantic war on people is another war that somebody should write a book about, that how language and words have been used and weaponized against people.
Yes. Well, the term Conciliar Church was coined by Cardinal Benelli after the Second mm-hmm. Vatican Council. The implementation of the Second Vatican Council with the post-conciliar reforms that were ushered in by the Second Vatican Council, brought about these changes in the church. So they referred to the Catholic Church as the conciliar church. And that's where I got the term the Soviet Church, because the councils are the Soviets. However, conciliar in the ecclesial sense is something still too centralized. When you think of a council, you're thinking of an ecumenical council of the entire universal church under the Pope. And that simply won't do. To be a truly Soviet church, we think of the slogan of Lenin when he said, "All power to the Soviets." Now, what were the Soviets? Those were the local councils. And that the authority is not to be the previous authority or the authority that they found anywhere else, but it's to be found in those Soviets. And those Soviets, of course, are under the Supreme Soviet. So what we have now is not a conciliar church being formed, but a synodal church, which is to say the local and regional Soviets. That's where the authority is going to be situated on the ground. But of course, it is dictated. It is a managed democracy where the authority is visibly on the ground in the local churches, but it's dictated from on high. That is the Soviet church, which Bergoglio calls the synodal church. It is the entire negation of the principle of subsidiarity, where the bishops, as the successors of the apostles, were given by Christ the authority to teach, to govern, to legislate, in the context and under the authority of the primacy of the Pope, where the Pope is to respect the authority of the bishops. Now, a bishop cannot speak a word, even mildly speak in criticism of the radical perversity of what is coming out of Rome, of Bergoglio's Rome. You have Bishop Strickland in Texas, in Tyler, Texas, who was subjected to a KGB-style investigation simply for upholding the Catholic faith against the obvious negation of faith and the perversion of faith that is coming out of Rome. Bishops are being removed. There are bishops who have been removed from office for no good reason, no reason even being given.
This is all being done rather sub rosa, too, isn't it? They're just gone. They're not making announcements about this particularly. Go ahead. Yeah.
That's right. In line with the Japanese proverb, the nail that sticks out gets banged down. The bishops,
right.
Individual bishops are afraid to speak out because they'll just be removed. And they are going to have to come to the understanding that this man, like I said, is not just any kind of anti-pope. He is an anti-pope in the sense that he is against it. He is the very inversion of the papacy.
Got it.
He is the very negation. He is the very negation of what the pope should be. He is the opposite of what a pope should be. A pope is one who should infallibly confirm the faith of the church, whereas this man, Bergoglio, inverts and overturns the faith.
He's antithetical to everything he inherited and was given and charged with upholding and advancing. He's just awful. Yeah, I concur. And I'm not a Catholic, but I see it.
He perverts the word of God into the word of corrupt mortal men. And the bishops are going to understand that this man is incapable, incapable of being a pope. He is an incapable subject of the pope. He is not valid. He is not valid matter for the papacy because he is a man who is so visibly and manifestly faithless. Such a man an absence of faith, a total negation. He is a total negation of faith. Bergoglio is the personification of the negation of faith, which is the opposite of the form of the papacy. The very form of the papacy is the profession, is the orthodox profession of faith, because that is the very form of the church. The profession of the apostolic faith that we have received from straight from the word of God, Bergoglio is the very negation of that word of God, and therefore he is incapable of being a pope. As Archbishop Viganò has pointed out, on a number of points, he has so clearly marked himself as a heretic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He reminds me of an environmental terrorist who's at the base of a magnificent thousand-year-old or older redwood with a chainsaw, and he's going to go to work on it. The guy is really dangerous. This is bad. This is bad stuff.
The man is not a Catholic at all. And that's why Archbishop Viganò said he was incapable of accepting the papacy of the Catholic Church, because he is an incapable subject of the papacy. He's not capable of being pope. He's not capable of accepting the papacy, because he rejects the papacy in principle.
He's a thug.
His system is the very negation of what the papacy is. Mm-hmm. Such a man is incapable of being a pope. That's what Archbishop Viganò has pointed out. That he was incapable even of accepting the papacy, because fundamentally he is incapable of being a pope, because his very person is a negation, essentially a negation of what the papacy is. Such a man is obviously incapable of being pope.
How old is he? It is mid-80s, something like that.
86.
One wonders what they'll bring on in his absence when he moves on, or heads south, as it were. I don't know. They'll probably put some kind of an apparatchik in there, a Bolshevik, a Masonic plotter and schemer. They're going to move faster after this pope. If this pope doesn't get the job done, they're going to put the pedal to the metal and go for it. That's the way I see it. I may be wrong, but I think they're going to waste no time. The new church is coming.
It will certainly seem that way. But then in the KGB terminology, they had an interesting expression, and it works both ways. The communists had this idea of how they were planning to conduct an operation, covert operations and such, something could always go wrong, something unforeseen. And the term they use, that's life. That is life.
Uh-huh.
And it works both ways.
Yes, it does.
It's going to happen. It could very well happen when Bergoglio departs this world and goes down to his place below.
So I said, heading south. Yes, exactly.
Yes. They may have a plan for a smooth transition, but God may inject the element of life into their plans, which is the antithesis of life as they understand it. That they may not have such a smooth sailing as they expected to transition to the next anti-pontificate after this anti-pope.
Would they dare try to rename the church, rebrand it somehow by putting an addendum reflecting their paganistic? Well, they're trying to revise it. I wonder how far they're going to go with this.
I think they're going to try to keep the name. They're going to keep the name because they are going to desperately want to tell the people that nothing has changed. When everything has changed, when
That's
absolutely
an illusion.
Everything has changed.
Yeah, it's like what's happening here in the United States. People want that illusion. They want things to be the way they were. They're not. They're not even close. But they want that illusion. So as long as there's a football or a basketball or a baseball game on the big screen and there's beer in the fridge and you can pretend that life is still as it was, the masses will pretty much mind their P's and Q's and stay in line. But it's not. It's gone. It's just an illusion, a delusion of things that were, that are no more.
The people need to be pacified.
Well, the Romans had it, bread and circuses, right? Same old, same old.
So they're going to strive mightily to reassure the people they can go to their parish churches and they're still going to find out, they're still going to find pretty much what they had before, but things are going to be changed in an essential manner. And unfortunately, the people have been so dumbed down that they won't be able to see the stark difference that has taken place, the change that has taken place in Bergoglio's synodal church, the church that he said will be a different church, but people will not understand how radically it is a different church, how radically it is already a different church. They don't understand. Bergoglio and his hierarchy are the founders of a new church, a counterfeit fake.
Correct. Yeah.
Catholicism. It is the inversion of Catholicism that is being carried out step by step through gradualism, because you cannot make a complete inversion all at once, because it's like putting
it's the frog in the water. They always do that. It's a slow burn, but inexorable and particularly vicious in this case. It's talking 2,000 years of history that is now being literally revised, revamped, and remarketed. You wait and see where we're going with this. For those of you who don't know much about it, it's a really an astonishing thing to see. And I just wonder how dumbed down the 1.2 billion Catholics are that they're not going to rise up. Maybe they'll be messengers of truth and wisdom like yourself trying to help. But then there's that issue of attack the messenger, which they do often. And they'll have their own operatives in there to attack you or whomever. But that's to be expected. And one would hope that the masses would see through that. I just don't know. These are difficult times all across the board. The entire panorama is one of grief, angst, suffering, and chaos. And that has been the prime directive for some time now, and they've pretty well achieved it.
They can do whatever they like to neutralize me, because as Bergoglio said, God is the God of surprises, and God has a surprise for them. They neutralize me, and God will replace me with 10 more who are 10 times greater than me.
Well, I don't know about greater than you, but perhaps as effective in some ways. They'll certainly be welcome on this program, and I'd want to tell you how much I respect and admire your courage and your wisdom about all of this. And without you, I don't know how we'd get the message out. So thank you very much, Father Kramer, again. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Let's see where we go.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Father Paul Kramer. And it's Friday night, weekend. Take care. And you know the routine. You've got time, a little bit of time. Don't waste it. All right. Back soon. Be well.